Nice to be in O'Leary tonight to share the meeting with Dean. And I can tell you I have a moment in my life when I repented of my sin. I didn't think of the term repentance, but I understood I was a sinner and that Christ died for my sins. And I don't know how people live from month to month, year to year, without the joy of sins all forgiven. It's wonderful to know Christ as your Savior. I think it must be awful to just have religion. And there are a lot of people who just have religion. And I'm sure that it must be pretty tough sledding sometimes when all you have is religion. But if you have Christ as your Savior, there is nothing to be compared with the joy that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to read again in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I don't know whether there are any English teachers here tonight. I don't know everybody in the audience, but sometimes teachers can be really picky about punctuation marks. Comma, colon, semicolon, question mark, exclamation mark. Well, we're going to read John chapter 3, just one verse. Verse 16, and you're probably quite familiar with it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now, in my Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world," and then there is a comma, "that he gave his only begotten son," comma, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," comma, "but have everlasting life." Well, a period and some commas. But I think that there's another punctuation mark in John 3:16. Look at it closely. "For God, the great God, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you see another punctuation mark there? Or you just see commas and periods? Some of the people here tonight remember a man, he's up in heaven now. His name was Albert Hull. And I had the privilege of working with him quite a bit in a number of series of gospel meetings, and others have worked with him too. But if anyone loved exclamation marks, it was Albert Hull. In fact, when he would write an article for a magazine, which he did from time to time, it was an editor's nightmare. Because he would write a sentence and then the second sentence would have a big exclamation mark. Exclamation marks all the way through whatever he wrote. And the editor said, "Mr. Hull, you will have to cut back. I can't professionally publish this magazine with your article in it with all these exclamation marks." So they had to reduce the exclamation marks to publish one article that he wrote. It was in, one I'm referring to is in Truth and Tidings, a little magazine that a lot of Christians around the world enjoy. And they reduced some of the exclamation marks, but I checked it, and it was published with 52 exclamation marks left in it. That's just one little two-pager. 52 exclamation marks. His name was Albert Hull. Well, when I read "For God so loved the world," I can see exclamation marks. Do you see anything? "For God so loved the world," exclamation mark. Why would he ever love the world? "That he gave his only begotten son," exclamation mark. "That whoever believes in him should not perish." exclamation mark, never perish, but have everlasting life, exclamation mark. So I want to ask you, is there anything in that verse that excites you? Do you see any exclamation marks there in John 3:16? You say, I learned that verse in Sunday school. So I don't see what's so special about it. Really? What is it about it? Really? Is that where you are? You have a question mark. What's so special about John 3:16? It's up there in the wall. I think there are people here tonight and you say, I see one big exclamation mark over John 3, verse 16. There is. It may not be in the rendering in your Bible, but it's the greatest wonder of the universe and of all ages. I'm going to read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we read it. Let's try singing it. I know it's unorthodox, but I was on my way up tonight. I was singing, it's a tune of Silent Night. If you've learned any Christmas carols, you know the tune of Silent Night. And so it was John 3:16. And I think all the words are in that hymn.
John 3:16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso
something to think 100 years from now, I sat in a gospel meeting and I sang that verse, John 3:16. Some of us will remember singing it and we'll be thrilled. But wouldn't it be a tragedy 100 years from now to think, I knew that Bible verse, and I was at that church service when they sang that Bible verse, and I'm not in heaven. I'm lost. Isn't there enough in the verse for you to trust Christ at the close of this meeting? For God so loved the world. Spectacular beauty. The texture of grace in every phrase here. Did you ever go on a trip and you didn't have your family with you? And you see something that's really breathtaking. And you get out your picture. Oh, and you say, that doesn't capture the mountain the way I see it with my eyes. And you just wish others that you love could see the same beauty. But they're not there. It happens to me quite often. They're not there to see it. Do you see any beauty in John 3:16? Do you see any exclamation marks? It'd be wonderful this evening if you went from a question mark. I don't see what's so special about that verse. In this very meeting, in the next 20 minutes, if you will allow God to work in your heart. Let me ask you, did you ask God to save you tonight? Or did you just come? We're glad you're here. But did you know that the greatest transaction in your life could occur in this very meeting? You could go from a question mark, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know why people seem to think that God giving his son is so special. What's so special about that? You could go from a question mark in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to an exclamation mark. He died for me. Some here tonight have had the experience of talking to someone at the door at the conclusion of a gospel service. In fact, I was just up in Rosebank a few years ago, and I remember David Hunt, he was speaking. It's a few years ago. And he ended, he sat down. He just ended this way. He said, "Christ died for," and then he packed his Bible up and he walked off the pulpit, the platform. And I get up, and I could see one woman's face shining, just a big smile from ear to ear. And I was quite distracted. I had to speak. But I could see that something happened in that chair. Someone who knew the gospel went from a question mark, what's so great about it, to, oh, it's wonderful. Christ died for, and she put in, me, me. That's what God's salvation is. Nothing more than that. When you find out that Christ died for you, the sinner, and you say, yes! Exclamation mark. Well, John 3:16. I think I see exclamation marks all through it. I just have 4 points I want you to think about. Resisting the God who loves you. That's point number one. Resisting the God who loves you. Rejecting the Son he gave. Refusing the offer he makes. There's an offer in that verse up there. Whoever believeth in him. And then rethinking the life, the wonderful life he gives. Resisting the God who loves you. Does it shock you that not everyone loves God in 2025? If you're not saved tonight, you don't love God. You don't. If you love God, you'd love his Son. If you love God, you would do what God wants you to do. You would embrace his Son. So you may be here tonight and you say, oh, yes, I love God. I've never used his name as a swear word yet. You don't love God. If you have never accepted his Son. And so there are people who keep resisting God, the God who loves you. Is that you? Do you resist the God who loves you? They say yes to friends. They say yes to career. They say yes to pleasure. They say yes to all kinds of things. But when it comes to embracing God's Son as your Savior, no. How could you ever say you love God if you've never embraced his Son? You don't love God. Resisting the God who loves you? Some people question whether he even exists just because they can't see him. How do you know God exists? And they go through all that line of reasoning. There's a lot of things that exist, but you can't see it, like gravity exists. There was a wasp nest up in our rain trough or going into our attic. It may be in the attic because I had to go up a ladder. And I know there's people here that are very agile. And I was going up the ladder and Joy was at the bottom holding the ladder. And I was going up and my legs were shaking. And you know what? Scared. I didn't want to fall. The gravity is real. Takes people down. People say, I can't see God, so I don't know whether he exists. You breathe oxygen. And you see oxygen. But it exists. People are angry at God. They swear at it, use his name, call him very bad names. And they say, what right does God have to be the sovereign Lord of the universe and all of those kind of things? I ask you, what do you have to say about the God of John 3:16? The God of John 3:16. Have you ever snubbed him? ever given God the cold shoulder? Where does he fit in your list of priorities as the summer runs out? Have you ever refused to answer his call? You say, well, is he calling me? If you've ever had a thought about God, could have been a close call, could have been a health scare, could have been a lot of reasons why people stop and think about God. That's God calling you. Have you ever refused to answer? Just keep on going, sort of ignoring? Resisting the God who loves you? Like children sometimes resist their parents. They snub a sibling. No eye contact. Silent treatment. And you come home from school and your parents say, how did the exam go today? Did you play? How was Jim? Did you see your friend? Did you hang out after school? It's called snubbing your parents. You're sooking or something. Did you ever do that with God? God's trying to get your attention, and yet you give him the cold shoulder. Every day God is snubbed. He endures insults, but he still loves these people and pursues them with his grace. God loves you tonight, even though you don't love him. He loves you. Many of us are parents tonight, and we love our children. We go to great lengths to do anything for our children. In fact, it gives us joy to do something for our children. It's an expression of love. We were in Cape Breton a few years ago, and Sunday morning, this elderly couple were visiting Cape Breton. Never saw them before, haven't seen them since. But they were believers. They were Christians. I'm not sure what their affiliation was with, but they just went and dropped in on a Sunday morning. And then over coffee, they told us that they have made it their life's goal to find their daughter. And they've visited all the different cities of the United States where they think she might be. And they've spotted her. And they said, we go running towards her, and she would take off. And I just thought, I think after two or three or four times of running down the sidewalk thinking you're going to, this time she would give in. But no, when we were talking to them that morning, so many times their hearts were broken that they had paid airplane tickets to fly to the California, different states, and they would see her. And when they went to her, she wouldn't come to them. That's a parent's love for a daughter. But God's love for you tonight, how many times has God reached into your life saying, come, and you resist? Resisting the God who loves you. A parent's love is strong and enduring, but Creator God's love for the creatures that he made in his own image surpasses a parent's love. God so loved the world, resisting the God who loves, rejecting the Son he gave. You know probably a lot of stories about the Lord Jesus. You've heard some in Sunday school. You've read some in your Bible. And there's stories that I love. I was up here to your picnic there the other Saturday, and I love the story of Zacchaeus. That's one of my stories that I love because I think of this fellow. He had everything on the outside. Probably big home, fat wallet, everything, but a void inside, empty. But there are many stories. Think of the man over there on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus went through a storm because there was one man lost in a cemetery, in a graveyard, cutting himself, stripped his clothes off, shouting and hollering. You'd say, oh, would the Lord of everything be interested in one man like that? Wouldn't he just go for the brightest and the best? No. He reached out to everyone, marginalized by society, bullied in society, people with multiple sins. He reached out and he blessed them. Mighty power, his incredible miracles, his tender compassion, you probably know all of those things. His patience. And he's patient with you tonight. But rejecting the Son that God gave, do you ever wonder what the consequences would be to reject the Son that he gave? Not like consequences, that's for sure. Have you ever rejected a gift? And you could see, oh my dear, I think I offended that person. Or at Christmas time, little kid, our grandchild, has gone to the dollar store and is given his $2-3 for a special gift for Grampy. And it's Christmas morning and we're all opening our gifts. And his eyes are just glued on, he's waiting for me to open the gift. And I made a mistake one year. Oh, I said, that's nice. Oh, Joy was horrified. No, you could just see, it was too late though to correct it. I saw his little face just, Grampy doesn't like it. Brokenhearted. How must God feel when he gave his Son and you don't appreciate his Son? You have better things to do than to think about his Son. Rejecting the Son he gave. People do that. They reject the Son he gave. And then I want you to think of refusing the offer he makes. This is the best offer you could ever get in life. Because whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a beautiful offer that's on the table right now. February 2024, Dr. Ruth Gottesman, there was a graduation ceremony at the Albert Einstein College in Manhattan, New York City. And it was a college of medicine, and there were graduates there. And she made this older lady with a cane, and she seemed to be quite frail. She was a former Albert Einstein College of Medicine professor, and she announced to all those students and families that were gathered that she was donating $1 billion to the city school, the largest gift of its type in history in the United States, to pay the tuition for everybody, whether they had money or didn't have money. She was paying everyone's tuition for all students, all current full-time students. We're going to have their semester tuition reimbursed, and all future students will attend the school tuition free. Imagine. No matter who you are or how much money you have, her desire was that everyone could have this free gift. And I watched that because going through medical school, no cheap thing. Like, kids graduate from there $200,000 in debt starting off, at least. And I watched the video of the auditorium erupting in cheers and students jumping out of their seats and the look in their face like, startled, am I hearing this right? And then smiles and then hugs. Some were crying. It was a wonderful offer. What a gesture. But let me tell you, God didn't just give a measly $1 billion out of love. He gave his Son. He He gave his son. That whoever, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done, doesn't matter, whoever believes. Doesn't say, whoever prays the hardest, whoever joins a certain church, whoever goes through all the religious rituals and gets baptized and does all those things, whoever does all those things should not perish but have everlasting life. Doesn't say that. Whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's desire. That's the offer that's on the table this evening. Don't resist the God who loves you. Don't reject the Son that He gave. And don't refuse His wonderful offer that He makes. You'll regret it for all the eternal ages if you refuse His wonderful offer. And the last point I want to leave with you is just rethinking it. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I've been thinking these thoughts for the last 4 years. Well, some of you are younger. Some have been thinking thoughts against God for 25, 40 years. But whether you're young or old, rethink this. Look at those words again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever or whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just rethink it. Think of the life that He gives. This wonderful life. What's included in everlasting life? What's included in eternal life? Within the bundle, you get your forgiveness of sins. You get a clear conscience. You get a home in heaven. You get peace, joy, happiness. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. All of those things are a part of everlasting life. There are Christians here older than me, and they have been enjoying everlasting life. It's not something you get when you die. I have eternal life now. And I'm enjoying eternal life. A Christian has a connection with God. That's what eternal life is. The very life of God breathed into our souls. It's called the new birth, regeneration. And I'm a possessor. Oh, I was looking at these shoes the other night. I said to Joy, I said, I got these shoes in Florida probably 12 years ago. And there's a really weak spot there. So, I'm just like you. I'm not loaded with cash. I don't have billions in the bank, or perhaps not. I don't have millions, I'll assure you that. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have eternal life, and Christ is my Savior, and heaven is my destination, and I am enjoying eternal life. And He's available, Christ is available to you tonight. How? Whoever believes in Him, whoever resists, no, whoever believes Him, trusts, rests on Him, comes to Him. All words mean the same thing. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give thanks for the simplicity of the gospel we've been hearing about, repentance or sin, turning in faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that someone tonight will understand that there is a God who loves them. We who have appreciated His love, we consider ourselves to be so unworthy of such love. And yet, we were loved, and Christ died for our sins. Pray that someone this evening will appreciate this, that Christ died for their sins too, that they will embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the eternal God, and that they will understand they will never perish, but have everlasting life. Part us with thy blessing, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.